completely. We don't want everybody to cry or carry on too much. What about Swami has given us strength to go through and even transcend? In my own life, just for an example, and I'm going to talk about this on Monday, there was an early event in my life early on when I was 8 years old. I had asthma, and I was sent away from my parents for 2 years. And I remember how terribly traumatic that was. So I had fear reaction and sad reaction that I had to try to cover up. And that was, you know, held inside. And Swami, in his great love, allowed me to become a psychiatrist. And because of that, I was supposed to know something. See? I was supposed to know something about the mind. Then I met Swami, and I wondered really if there was a mind. You know, because he says duality is a figment of your imagination. But I couldn't tell my psychiatry friends that what I've learned in India is that you're God and there is no mind. You know, how would my psychiatry friends take to that? I say, what did you learn in India, Sam? And I say, I learned that I'm God. That wouldn't go over. And then if I said, no, I learned that you're God too, that wouldn't help either. And then I would say, I learned that the mind doesn't exist. It's all imagination. That wouldn't go over either. So I was having trouble there. And then people asked me to speak. But what did I know about this new reality? You know, it's a new reality. This whole reality, atmic awareness, and the path to atmic awareness. How many of us really want to study it or understand anything about it? So I was asked to speak about this. And I was uncomfortable doing it because I didn't know anything about it. And I was supposed to be an expert psychiatrist, to know everything. So this was very, very difficult. Inside, I was uncomfortable because I was sent away early, so I thought audiences would be difficult for me. And then I didn't know what I was talking about anyways. So that right there, Swami put that in front of me. And how was I to relieve myself of that? I'm going to talk a little bit about it and how, as I saw the techniques to relieve the pain that comes up, as I saw that and saw the clouds leaving, all of a sudden there was a burst of energy. Swami told me it was Kundalini Shakti. Now, I don't know what that really means very much, but I could see that there was a real transformation inside. And it happens when we are courageous and face our karma, or whatever we have to face, and release it. So that's by way of sort of an introduction. What I thought we should do, let me ask Sharon, can you tell a story of where one of the girls had to face an obstacle and transcend it? Because on the path, they had to face something they didn't like. They faced it with courage, and then they came through it with Swami's help. Do you know any story?
There are a lot of...
She always has a story. I can always depend on her. No. I can put her on the spot at any time.
No.
She always has a story.
I didn't have a reading, so I failed this one little moment. There are a lot of stories, but I think the biggest, really, obstacle or challenge for our daughters was when Dad came back from India. And here we are in a Western society, and they have grandparents on both sides who are looking askance at our family. What's happened to Sam? And poor Sharon, he's dragging her into this horrible cult. And then immediately pictures went up in our home, huge pictures of Baba, because the bigger the better, as far as Sam thought. Fortunately, Sam dragged me off to India within the few months, leaving four precious little girls for 10 days. In retrospect, I don't know how I did it, but so we, you know, when I returned, and I shared this morning how my struggle was dealing with my own relationship with Baba, with my husband, who had gone a little strange, different, And then with our children who were watching us and seeing what was happening, because it was a very big change. And then dealing with grandparents and siblings. And it was a huge thing. And having friends come into the house. And one daughter, I mean, the children, the beauty of children is that they're so receptive. They instinctively respond to Baba. They love Baba right away. And one of the first things that happened when Sam was in India the second time, I was sitting with our six-year-old or five-year-old twins, and they're saying, "Mom, is Baba real?" Because in their minds, they didn't understand, is Baba real? And I had just been returned, but then Sam went back already. So there's Dad going back again. Is he real? And I said, "Well, I think he's real. I mean, I've seen him. He's real, I think." Crash! At that very moment, a big picture of Baba sitting on a table across the living room, and the other, a little adjoining room, open room, crashed to the floor. Like that. Crash! And we said, "Oh!" They jumped up. "Oh, he's real!" You know, and right away, but they were so receptive, but they had to deal with their friends. We had a soccer team come and have an after soccer game party, and here's all these pictures of Baba. And they had to, you know, know how to respond. Once our daughter, who was innocently nine, had a friend over, and who's that guy with the hair? And then our daughter started telling about miracles and how he raises the dead and all the things that our daughters instinctively believed and believed as true. And the girl was so scared, she never came back. She never returned. And so our daughter said, "Uh-oh, I better not, we talk. You can't share this information." And so I think that Sam is asking for an example, that for them to grow up in a Western home, was being vegetarian before it was very popular, which it is now. Now their friends are vegetarian. So having the strength, like Baba says, be lions, strong. I think that was dealing with husbands was their challenge.
So for many Westerners, just being a Sai devotee and surviving, you know, because you want to be part of your community, and surviving in the community is a challenge. I remember when the first daughter was getting married, my sister-in-law said, "Are you going to keep all the pictures up when the in-laws come?" And we said, "Of course." And she said, "What do you think they're going to think?" So we said, "We don't know, but the pictures are staying up." So,
but the husband thought we were okay, so he was happy to marry our daughter.
That if you're a little bit loving and sane, people understand. But, you know, it's a little bit of a challenge. So these are some suggestions for you to start thinking, what is it in my life that I've come up against, showing that as we move towards Swami with love, and he's asking us to erase the clouds, what cloud comes up in front of us? It could be monetary. It could be marital. It could be familial. It could be drug-related. It could be cultural. It could be a physical problem. Whatever we see is our karma or the cloud that we have to approach with courage, because Swami wants us to approach it with courage. I once heard Dr. Hislop talk about it this way. He said, karma is like a nail in a board, and you try to pull on it and pull on it, and you may pull 100 times, and one day, pop, it'll come out. He had great faith in that. Pop, it would come out. But so first of all, I'd like to take some suggestions from the audience so we just get a little idea, if you're thinking on the same wavelength, what kind of problems do you see, can you see? And we don't want you to spill the whole beans here, just a little bit of it. So we'll take that, and the next we'll get some suggestions on what kind of teaching that Swami has that has brought you through. We don't want an intellectual discourse. We want to see that what had really worked for you that has brought you through. So let's think for about a minute of quiet time. And then I'm going to ask for you to raise a hand, and if you'll just stand up and we'll first take what is the obstacle that we see is in front of us. Now, by us doing this, by us thinking and bringing consciousness to it, bringing a word to it in a Sai context, holding Sai with us, it will do something to the problems. We have to believe that. We may not see it immediately like that, but it takes a little courage to do this. So let's think for about a minute, and then we'll come up with a couple.
And it can even be a negative mantra, a negative thought that you find repeating in your brain. I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm too fat, whatever it is that is negative, that's pulling, drawing you away from all the positive love that we should be feeling.
And that's a big one, because there are a lot of negative conversations. If we can just identify it, the negative conversation that's going up. So the first is, what is the obstacle we see? And then the next, we'll talk about how we're meeting it with Swami's teaching. And I'm going to be quiet for a minute. And she'll talk anytime she wants, right? No, okay, she'll be quiet for a minute too, okay. Okay, now, because I've asked you to bring your mind into some area that may be negative, we'll start by just chanting the Gayatri three times. That'll give us, you know, a little bit of relief, and then we'll go into it, okay?
Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonah Prachodayat Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonah Prachodayat Om Bhur Bhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonah Prachodayat Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
By the way, that's a great cure. In fact, it asks to cure the mind. Okay, does anybody want to start by just saying, okay, yes? And let's see if we bring a microphone over. Does somebody want to be... Okay.
First and foremost, I and a friend of mine, we entered a few minutes after you had started. So just the first brief of it, I think we just missed. But anyway, keeping the context in mind, I wanted to share something and keeping the subject in view. One was the first impediment that I usually come across when in my heart of hearts I want to be more profuse in my love outside the limited circle is the feeling that if I express my love by being more profuse and being more effusive in words, I might be misunderstood. So that's one egoistic block which comes in the mind, that the other person who is not within the limited Sai circle or within the family circle might think that, you know, he might think so many things.
Yes.
It might be culturally be offensive, or the person may think I am, beyond my senses, as you mentioned in the earlier talk that you had.
So shall we just hold it at that?
Okay,
because we'll let somebody else have a... Right. But, you know, the idea of being misunderstood and being frightened of being misunderstood and that we'd have a negative response holds a lot of us back. It holds us back for many reasons, because talking to people, interacting with people, we have to be pretty clean and feeling positive. So how to clean this feeling that we're going to be misunderstood, how to clean that out? That's a very good suggestion, very good idea. And somebody else have...
Sairam.
Sairam.
It's like an addition to the same type of problem.
Okay, in the microphone.
Yeah, with coming to Swami, I am trying to change and I am a different person now from what I was before 91 January, that I know. But it is very hard with people who knew me as a different person earlier. It's not able to accept, though my action is done in a sincere mode. So it is very difficult with the closest circle, not only with the outside circle. I feel it that way.
Okay. Let me see if I can paraphrase. Sometimes when we follow Swami, we change a little bit. For instance, we may not like small talk, or we may not like to just be social and talk about small things. And so there's a change that goes on in our relationships with people. And that may be a problem. Okay, good. Yes?
Hi, my name is Sarah. One of the teachings that has really been a recurrent theme has been we are not the sum total of all our experiences. We are much more than that. We are much more than this person sitting here. We are much more than what we're doing at one particular time, that we're complex individuals. And my quick story with this, I told earlier to somebody, was when I went to Prashanthi Nilayam several years ago, I really felt shame. And people probably know what shame is. It can be extremely toxic and very damaging. And I used to tell myself, you know, I was a really good girl growing up. I was a really good girl. And there were certain things that happened to me that that shouldn't have happened to me. And I remember sitting in the darshan hall, and I was in the front. And Swami came right over to me. At the time, I was working in his super specialty hospital. And he was stopped, and he talked to me about what I was doing. It was kind of funny because I misunderstood him. I thought he was asking me for a massage, but he said, no, 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 are you giving patients massages? And everybody started laughing. And then he proceeded to bring his hand down and he waved it and he waved it and he waved it. And he touched his fingers to my fingers and this vibhuti just flowed right into my hands and all over the floor. I was scraping it up. I was trying to get it all. Someone's handing me a tissue. The woman next to me elbows me.
Let's keep it
okay, sorry.
Let's keep it a little short.
Sorry. She elbows me and she said, Swami's still looking at you. And I looked up and he said was, good girl. And that was just amazing. So we are more than the total of what we think we're going through.
Good. Well, wonderful story. The idea that when we're with Swami, we may get to be obsessive or compulsive or start thinking that he won't like us because of whatever the negativity that's been in our life. That's a big one, that I'm not worthy, I'm not worthwhile, I don't deserve. These can come up in people's minds very quickly. They can just go pop into people's minds. Luckily, Swami came to you and administered to you right like that. But how do we deal with sort of obsessing on negative thing or feeling we're not good enough? Because Swami tells us no matter who we think we are, we're so lucky to be alive, lucky to be with him. It's beyond any understanding that how to change that negative thought is going to be an important thing to consider.
I just want to share one quick story regarding this. We have we have four daughters. One daughter was a procrastinator, was late everywhere. She kept the whole family waiting it was really a problem, and it kept on going on and on, and they were late to school and late everywhere because we were waiting for this one daughter, and she developed a complex, and she just couldn't change. We tried different techniques. So Sam said, we're going to take this to Baba. Oh, Dad, no. So next time we were there, we were lucky to get in with Baba, and Sam said, Baba, this girl has a problem. And Baba so sweetly said, oh, yes, she's late. She's a very late girl. Baba looked at her with so much compassion and love, and he said, not always. End of story. And we went home after that trip, and the girl, you could see her a sigh of relief. You know, she was shivering. Is Baba going to yell or chastise her? He was so sweet and loving, not always. And after that, she came back and started working on it. She developed confidence. And she's gotten so much, well, she's now married, and her husband has to deal with it. But she's gotten so much better because she had the confidence. And I think just knowing what Baba said, we have to keep look at the pros and the cons. So that was just a little story.
Well, if we're bothered by a negative feeling, or if we're bothered by something that comes up in our relationship with Swami, we should expect things like that to happen. You know, sometimes we just hear stories that everything is just so peachy cream and easy, but the spiritual path is not easy. It's one of releasing. Dr. Hislop used to say, don't dip your hand in the stream of karma. Learn how to let it pass. And so the cloud is going to come up, and we're going to have to learn how to release. And if it comes up, not to be upset. I mean, we're going to be a little upset, but realize it's part of the process. So let's just, for a moment, think about a couple of ways that we have at our disposal to deal with some of the negativity. And then we're going to break up into groups. But just to toss a couple of ideas out, so we get the idea of what we're looking for. Does anybody have any, like to start it off with, what do you do, actually do, that makes life easier for us, easier for you? Yes, way over here. And could somebody run a mic over there? Thank you.
I came across a situation like this when I joined a new company last year, and I was actually went as a supervisor, which was supposed to be given to some other guy. So he was always trying to find fault with me, and the thing is, he almost wanted to fire me out, but I was just meditating at love, and at that time my sister gave me one diary, the Janani diary. It's just a normal diary with Swami's pictures. And so I kept on writing every day and night. Whatever bad thoughts I thought about him, I just came and wrote it. Like, I should love him. I should not think this. I should. And earlier, the page was a little bigger. And day by day, it came shorter. And finally, I was always trying to love him. And then now we both are real good teammates now.
Well, let me see if I understand. You were having a work problem. And this is not uncommon. Now managers and supervisors are becoming very jumpy. Their jobs are at stake, and the whole corporate sector is going crazy. The economic problems are huge, so people at work are feeling the stress tremendously. And if I heard you correct, you started a dialogue with Swami in a diary?
No, it's a Swami's diary. It's a daily sheet diary with Swami's picture. It's called as Janani. It's available in Puttaparthi.
Uh-huh.
So my sister presented
me. Was it Swami's words?
No, it's just, you can write your own, it's uh-huh. Empty pages, but it's in between you'll have Swami's pictures in there.
Uh-huh. And did you write something to Swami each day?
I did not really write it to Swami, but I wrote myself, whatever thoughts came to my mind, I wrote it in that diary.
Okay, okay.
Whatever negative thoughts about that guy, I wrote it, I should not think bad about him, I kept on uh-huh. writing there.
So writing it down helped you?
Yes.
Yes. You know, keeping it inside, blocked up inside, all separate, and letting it separate ourselves, separate us from family and everybody else, is the worst thing we could do. You know, just holding it in. So if you have a spouse that you can talk to or somebody else, the talking or the writing is very, very good, especially if we're writing it to Swami in some way. Okay, so we understand a little bit of identifying in our own life. And really, what specific technique do you use? I personally use chanting Om or Gayatri, but that's because I actually have found a way of relieving my feeling by letting it move into the vibration of the Gayatri or of a mantra. A lot of people have found that the mantra actually can transform a feeling. Not everybody can do that, but some people can, and it can keep you even tempered. Well, now the next part of this, I don't know how we're going to do this personally, but if we can break up into groups of about 8 or 10, and then there should be a group leader, which you decide on within about 3 seconds or maybe more, and there should be a little record keeper, and each person think for a little while, go around and tell what their actual cloud is, or they can verbalize it in some way. Remember, the verbalizing in study group is very, very important, more than you think, to set your mind into Swami's discourse or something and then to say something. Pass a few times, pass for a year if you want, but finally get the courage to say something, because the saying is very, very important. So we'll each have a chance to say something, and then we'll get a chance to say what of Swami's activities works for us. Satsang, study group, service, saying a mantra, whatever it is, writing on a... But let's do that. And after a short while, we'll ask you to sum up. So in your group, you'll find the best story, and we'll have one or two people come out and tell the story. So you can just turn for 8 or 10 people, turn like that, and pick a group leader.
And the chairs can move.
The chairs can turn around if you can. I don't know if you can.
Yeah, we can. We'll move them back.
And we're really thanking you for trying this, because it's disturbing the room structure here. Now, we should have a group leader who will keep it going and limit everybody's comment to about a minute. A minute or a minute and a half. Okay, so see if you can solve that problem. There'll be a group leader. And then somebody should take notes. That is, keep notes of what stories you're hearing, because we're going to want a little report out. This gentleman,
we made a list of things that were bothering us, so I'll just go down the list very fast. There was one gentleman who is in the medical field, said that he gets frustrated when he has to give drugs to people that, you know,
say
he really
that again.
Does, he, want, he has to give drugs to people that he doesn't feel it's right to give it to them. That's frustrating for him. Another gentleman felt that he loves at one moment and then hates at another moment. The same person, he has that relationship. One other individual mentioned about that it's difficult for him to see Swami in everybody. So these
Fine.
Were the three I can identify.
Yes.
I'll share one little story with you. I have a very close friend who was not walking. He was a young boy, 16, 17 years old. And he was literally on his back for a couple of years. And he was able to have a private meeting with Swami. And Swami looked at him and said, "Oh, you naughty boy, Tata, you know, this thing. And then finally he said, okay, go home now. And soon you'll be playing just like everybody else. So, and needless to say, within 6 months, that boy is now a very fine running athlete, you know. So that's it for me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. You want to clap? That's all right. See, the trying to understand how ununderstandable Swami is. He can look at you, and you think that he could be telling you to go away, and he could be curing your entire family of some illness. I mean, we don't know anything about Swami, only that it's pure love. This idea that we have difficulty with our feeling system or relationship with others is everybody has that problem. And we have to be a little cautious also about drugs. Of course, I'm a psychiatrist, and I worried about this, giving medication to people. And then I see Swami having all these hospitals and medicines floating around all over the place. And Swami has said that good medicine, if it's done well, if it's done correctly, includes medication. So if we have problems, let's say we have problems with feelings that flip-flop. Let's say we cycle, and one time we're high, one time we're low. Or let's say we have anxiety problem. You know, 10% of people in here are clinically depressed. 10% have anxiety problems. That's 20% right there. It's almost a norm to have some kind of something going on in the emotional system because we're so sensitive, human beings are so sensitive. So if something is happening, we actually want to know what it is. There could be anxiety, there could be depression, and actually it could help to see somebody, to talk about it and to get the proper medications if that's needed. I'm not trying to send everybody to a psychiatrist or tell you that you should be on medicines, but we shouldn't be frightened. We should just look at problems clearly. And there are all kinds of problems with interpersonal relationships that we should just have the capacity to talk to each other about it and try to iron these things out, because they're not easy to iron out. And yet we want to learn how to be helpful with people. If we see that our natural instinct is to growl and to cause trouble in a group, then we've got to learn to be a instrument of unity and harmony. And that takes a lot of doing. We have to learn, and we have to soul search, and we have to be with Swami and change some of these patterns. So it's usual that we have interpersonal and emotional issues that are going on. Okay, who wants this? Another woman? Okay. Okay, let's say 1.5 minutes, and then we'll do 3 Gayatris. We'll have her the last one. Because
okay. Sairam.
I know it's going to be very important, but we only have so much time, so we all have... Okay, 1 minute each one. Okay, 1 minute. 30, so 2 seconds a person. Okay.
Sairam, we were thinking over regarding negativity. We have negativity not in one field, but in all the field since morning and evening. We are thinking negative this way or that way. As Baba says, if we are thinking negatively and feeling unhappy, sad in life, we are not strong on our spiritual line. Our faith is not that way strong. That is why I am shaking in life. Anyhow, for this negativity, how to remove that from our life? The only thing, make your faith very strong. Make your love very strong for Baba. In life, I failed to understand the definition of love till today anyhow. Love for Baba and satsanga, satsanga, company of the enlightened persons, reading spiritual books, talking to the friends who have the same type of ideology. So Baba says, even this time at Puttaparthi.
Okay, now we're going to have to stop in about 10 seconds, okay?
Yes. Fear of sin, love for God, serve the formality, mend your mind with all these things, keeping yourself in service. When your mind are in control, your senses are in control, you will be at peace one day or other.
Okay, good. Wonderful, wonderful. Very nice. And 30 seconds.
What you just mentioned, Dr. Sanwise, kind of dovetails into the three points that I have. The three points are essentially what prevents us from being the people that we want to be in daily life. So it's kind of, how do you reconcile between being in a spiritual environment every weekend, in the Sai environment, and then going back to work on a weekday and being surrounded by the same group of people who project the same negativity on you? So it's a positive weekend, negative week, positive weekend, negative week. So how do we break that cycle and keep it positive throughout?
That's a wonderful, wonderful. Now, we have to end here. It's a wonderful question. We should all think really seriously about that, because we're thrown right back into the world, and how to make small little changes. Small, because it doesn't come all of a sudden. Small changes. And be patient, perseverance, and purity. Swami says that, you know, patience, perseverance, and purity. Okay, three Gayatris, and that's it. Clear the air. We've got to clear the air. Om
Bhurbhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonah Prachodayat. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonah Prachodayat. Om Bhurbhuvasvaha Tat Savitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yonah Prachodayat. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Sai Raman, thank everybody, and Swami.